And welcome to A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith, where significance blooms in athletics and sports. Well, welcome to May, and let's believe it, we don't feel like May. I'm sitting up here with a sweatshirt on, okay, and drinking tea because my throat is scratchy. Can we? I mean, I'm not complaining. I'm just saying, you better be careful out here. Let's just say that, because I'm allergic to mold spores. So when the weather changes, that's a hotbed for them. So I try to make sure I have my nasal spray ready. But that being said, I am going to, I don't think y'all realize, but Washington, D.C. is really built on a swamp. So I have to say, every time I do go to D.C., I must spray my nose heavily. So I am traveling to the nation's capital next week to attend the Mystics reception and preseason game versus the Atlanta Dream on Wednesday, May the 10th. I have not just a plus one, but a plus two. So I'm real excited about bringing two of my clients with me. So, but I'm being invited by my own client, Janelle Saunders. So proud of her. She's a member of the Vance Academy. We were working to land her a job in college athletics during the pandemic. And it just so happens, you know, we were practicing her elevator pitch, and she had just submitted her article to be in the Significant Athletics magazine, which built her confidence up. And I don't know, I guess I sent her an opening for the Mystics and an application, the offer that she was applying for. She didn't get that one, but they were so impressed that I offered her a sales job. Well, since then, she has been promoted to corporate sales specialist for the Mystics. So I'm just so excited about that and celebrating her. But I say that to say this. If you're considering, treating your team, if you're on the East Coast, well, I'm taking the train if I have a ball, or a group of friends or a birthday party, or just want to get together and let your hair down, I'm suggesting that you contact Janelle Saunders for a VIP experience and a fun time at the game. Now, if you're one of those folks that, you know, you get to know about the game, look, the Mystics, you really can't buy a single ticket, to be honest. I think they're sold out. You can buy these corporate ones. But, when she first got hired, 10 of us were there, and we had a great time. And it's a wonderful venue, I have to admit. It's an intimate venue, so you do feel like that you can really see the players really well. So, if this is something, and I really strongly, and it's affordable, I think. I don't know since they've been selling out what the prices are. I'm going to repeat back to you and let you know how it goes. But if you're in D.C. and you're available that evening at 7 p.m., I'm having a connecting event at my hotel. I'm staying at the AC Hotel in National Harbor. So, again, because when I go places, I really like to connect with those, you know, in that city or nearby city. And I'm here to tell you, things happen at these tables. Connections are made. Offers are given. Interviews happen. I'm just saying. So, don't miss this opportunity to connect at a Chat in the Garden connecting event, 7 p.m. next Wednesday at 7 p.m. at the AC Hotel National Harbor. If this is something that you'll be able to do, email me at MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. Again, MoniqueAJSmith@CaesarEmpowerment.info. Would love to see your face in the place. I already got three folks I already signed up, and one of those folks is Candy Waller. Yeah, Candy is actually a media partner with Caesar Empowerment, and I sent her the note that I was going to be in town, and she said, well, would you mind sharing this to your audience? I said, absolutely. I don't mind at all. And so before our event on the 10th, this Saturday, May the 6th, join Candy Waller for the original Cocktails, Conversations, and Connections, Kentucky Derby edition at the Hall in Washington, D.C. Now, if you're listening and you're wondering, what in the world is a Kentucky Derby edition? And I know my engineer is going like, I know what that is. You should live in Kentucky. Well, it's when you get dressed up with a little hat on your head. Okay? Yeah, because they go watch the races with a cute outfit. So they're having Cocktails, Conversations, and Connections in Kentucky Derby style at the Hook Hall in Washington, D.C. I'm not really sure where that is, but again, I grew up in D.C. back almost 30 years ago. So every club I know about, every little actually, my cousin owned a restaurant in Adams Morgan. Everything I know is no longer there. But if you live in D.C., you don't want to miss this event as well. It is hosted by the Malin PR firm. This event offers the opportunity for the DMV premier movers and shakers to make business connections over cocktails. So Candy says, inbox her if you're able to attend. And I think that's great. Now, I did look up, and I am connected to the host as well. And she does PR. She does PR for media. I mean, she does events for the media. So she's really connected with that. So if you have an interest in that area, if you live in D.C., you're trying to figure out how to get your foot in the door, this is where you need to be. I'm just saying. So this is what I love to do. I love to connect folks. People say I am the connector. I don't know about all that. It's just I just like people who are like-minded to be in each other's presence. And I guess it comes from being from a small town, number one, and number two, being the only child and being excited about meeting people. So I like to just spread those seeds. So speaking of seeds, I believe seeds are reeds and reeds are seeds. And one of those reeds is the Significant Athletics magazine. I'm really excited about having our fifth issue that really does feature my mentor, Alfreda Goff. She is a true trailblazer. And I was speaking to someone, I believe the weekend, maybe it was just Monday. It was Monday, about those who open doors for us and who speak about us when we're not in rooms. Those are true sponsors. And this is what Alfreda Goff did for many of us. And we implemented the very same. I think the person I was talking to, she was talking about NCAA committees. Ironically, it was funny, I was on the very first Division II nominating committee because I feared the golf put me on that committee and didn't tell me until I get this big box. This is before emails was really a thing with Dropbox and whatnot. Everyone who applied for committees, because I was on the committee that created all the very first Division II committees. They were in big binders, and we were to help create those committees with these applications. And we were just speaking about how you have to speak on other people's behalf at these on these committees when it's time to vote people in. You got to have someone who can speak on your behalf. That's why these connecting events are great. This is another reason why the mastermind is great, because you get a chance to see people's expertise and how they think. It's so important. I hate to bust people bubble, but just being at a job and holding your head down to get it done, that's over. You got to be able to still do work, do excellent work, but tell people what you did. And this is what the magazine does. You know, you have an expertise in something. There's a problem that you were able to solve and had great success. And it does make you do self-reflection exactly where it is that you do well. But this is what this magazine does. You know, it actually helps others speak about you when you're not in the room, because you're writing about your expertise. And then they can share the magazine with others. And have you seen, or have you considered, or this is somebody you need to meet? So we had Ray Campbell. Her article was The Swiss Knife of Athletics. Love it. We had a great conversation at Facebook Live last Wednesday. So go back and check it out inside the Chat Garden group. But tonight, we're having Makita Dickens, okay? Coach Makita Dickens. We call her Coach Q. And she's the advocate coach. She just finished her reign at a Division III college. I think it's Peace College. Interesting that it has that name. And the reason why I came in contact with her was because of the racial unrest that she had with her team and an official and the conference office about how to handle racial slurs handled with her on a basketball game. And it's interesting. She was already an advocate. She knew she was going to, you know, speak truth to power when they hired her. Well, she's no longer there, but it does not stop her. She's all in the magazine. She talks about being an advocate for her hometown, a small town in North Carolina that's incorporated. I think it's the longest incorporated population of black individuals. And so can't wait to hear from her tonight. But she's had an advocate spirit since the very beginning. And this is what I love. And I think last week or 2 weeks ago, she spoke at the inclusion forum. So you know I'm going to talk about that tonight to find out what did she speak about and what are her – and I see her on Facebook often speaking about that. Now, I will give you a sneak peek. She does say by being an athlete under Coach Al of NC State helped develop this in her, because I think the coach said that was going to be her calling. So if that piques your interest, and it's interesting, today's guest is someone similar, an advocate. Yes. And, you know, I do a staff retreat called Our Playing Field is Evolving. And truly, today's student athlete, you're just going to have to expand your way of understanding that it's more than X's and O's and wins and losses and a coach today. You've got to know the interests of your student athletes. And if they have an advocate spirit, you need to be able to acknowledge that and respect that and provide space for that. Because this is one reason why the portal is strong. I'm here to tell you. But if these things, these three individuals, I pray to God, Ray Campbell, the Swift Knife of Athletics, and Coach Q, the advocate coach, interest you, Find your way to SeizeOfEmpowermentStore.com, SEEDS of EmpowermentStore.com. Hey, yes, get your copy today. And if you know someone who this is probably something they need to embrace, get it for them too. We do have bulk prices. You know, I really love when people buy it for their team. We do have a specialty where you can buy 15 copies at $9 each. So I've had plenty of coaches to purchase it for their team. It can lead to great discussion because, you know, you can have a virtual mentor by reading an article about somebody. Then you can go and reach out to them. So I like to follow up on X, Y, and Z. Now, you know, again, when I travel, I do like to have connecting events. Love it, love it, love it. So my question, we're going to actually talk about this organization today. Who is meeting me in L.A. at the Black Student Outreach Summit, May 21st through 24th? Our annual breakfast will take place Monday morning, May 22nd, at 6 a.m. I know you say that's early, but we don't want to miss any of the program of the Black Student Athlete Summit. So we just get up early and we meet each other and share our journeys. And again, these tables, people, connections are made, interviews are given, and jobs are had. I got receipts with this. This is the truth. This happened. So inbox me so I can add you to our table count. It's Dutch. I'm not buying you breakfast now. Just be clear. We're all coming together, and you're going to pay for your breakfast, but I want to make sure I have a seat for you at the table. I think last year we had about 12 women. It was fantastic, fantastic. And I do have a little birdie told me that our guest of last week, Natalie White, may have an appearance that morning, 6 a.m., at the hotel restaurant for breakfast at 6 a.m. on May 22nd. So I hope to see you in the place. Hope to see you in the place. Don't want to miss it. Don't want to miss it. Now, I do have a little, this is interesting. When I inputted my girl's commercial about meeting her in D.C., it erased all my other commercials. So but I found it. No worries, no worries, no worries. So speaking of Candy Wall, I do have to tell you about this. You know, she does have a media training for student athletes. And I believe it will be self-paced. So with name, image, and likeness on deck, this is extremely important training. Candy Waller is the founder of Seawall Sports Entertainment. She covers everything professional sports in the D.C. area. And I kind of feel like she came in contact with a lot of young people that just weren't prepared. And I think it's excellent because I've been around grassroots basketball for a couple of years now. And they are taking the mic, you know, from a social media standpoint. You got the red carpet, you got this and that. And if they take over what they see on the professional ranks, you know, taking out hits on their players or opponents, yeah, it's gonna be a mess. So we need to get some training with them to explain that that you represent a brand. The brand is you, and so that she likes to say lights, camera, action, and I say so we don't have any sorry Miss Jackson moments. So to get on the docket, to get information when these courses go live and how to get it in front of your young people, go to info@seawallfoundation.org. Again, info@seawallfoundation.org. of late, and I said I wasn't going to say this, but I'm going to share it anyway. So yesterday was my last day teaching at Hampton University. So I taught three courses, 9:30 sports marketing, 12:30 psychophysiology of sport, and then 2 o'clock I taught sports PR. And it was a bittersweet moment. But I tried, you know, because I was giving finals mostly with the kids were doing presentations. Because some of them, that's the bullet I gave them instead of having a final. And, you know, I began to teach, to be honest, because I was asked. But I was already doing workshops and things of that nature. But it's interesting, I became pretty close, you know, with the students. And most of the, interesting enough, the football players, and, you know, there's a lot of those, are pretty connected. And I had one young man to come back to visit me the past weekend. He plays in the XFL. And then, you know, I was just watching, interactions between him and his former players, and they were asking, you know, different questions and whatnot. And so the conversation, you know, came about, you with the kids, you know, the money, you know, and how does your money work, and who's preparing your taxes, and, you know, all that kind of good stuff. And so I was able to get educated about what's going on with him, and I kind of knew the questions to ask, you know. But then the questions came back to me. Well, how does that work, and how does that work? And thank goodness I had read this book called Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. And so that's talking to young people who come back who admire you and, you know, share their thoughts. And, yeah, we don't know everything, but hopefully we know the resources to direct them to. So, you know, I told them to go get this book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse by Tawana Smith. So then yesterday I had some students, because they were helping me work some tournaments, and they were picking up their checks. And I mentioned the part, you know, I was talking, I don't know what we were talking about, but again, oh, I know what it was, about me not teaching. And I said, well, if I'm no longer associated with the university, you know, then I can probably assist you all, you know, actually with these new image and likeness opportunities. But more so, I said, you know, I'm more about that you're a brand versus a brand falling to your lap. And the person had a like look. He was like, well, I said, yeah, because you got to pay taxes on any product that people give you, even if you just give it to you to highlight their products on social media. And his eyes got wide, and I was like, okay. So how much product did you get? Okay, well, you know, if you pay over $600, get over $600, you know, taxable. And so they don't know. They just don't know. And so, yeah, we'll see what happens with me expanding my offerings to assist students. But what I want you to consider is, more importantly than anything else, this book, Surviving the Lights, A Professional Athlete's Playbook to Avoid the Curse. It's on Amazon, three different formats, audio, paperback, and ebook. And you need to get it today, because, and then just get it and put it on your shelf so that you can at least provide a resource for your student athletes. Because the book was written for professional athletes, but if a student is getting money, they're not professionals, but they need to know this information. And speaking about information, Alva Amaker, educational risk management consultant, owns Vigilant Safety Training Center. She likes to say policy to practice. And it's interesting that you can have a policy, but if the individuals are doing your game day events, game day ops, don't know, then there becomes a problem. The center has the following training: first responder training, which, you know, if you think about the Monday night occurrence that happened this fall, that tells you again why that's really important. Those responders saved that man's life. Sport and event staff certification. This is like the people, I used to say your yellow jackets, but now I see people with red jackets and black jackets. The people who help control the crowd need to know what your policies and procedures are. And just because you hire outside entities does not mean that you are off the hook. Workspace safety and personal training, personnel training. So you need to make sure everybody has a understanding about ingress and regress. You know, if you have an active shooter, unfortunately, it's becoming a very, I'm concerned that people are just becoming numb to that. But you can't become numb because, you know, they say you come numb, you have no feelings, and then you don't know that you're in danger. So you've got to be able to alert yourself. And if you consider yourself a lifelong learner, just embrace this as another learning. So get, if you have an assessment, for you to be able to tell which area you need to concentrate on. So go to Vigilance, VigilanceSTC.com. VigilanceSTC.com. And I believe you'll be very pleased with that, because I'm telling you, from another standpoint, what I always say is that when you can bring things to your organization and to make them better, you grow, organization grows, and they know who helped them grow. And that's what leaders do. That's what leaders do. And so that is one reason why I'm excited about who I have here for us today. And I always seek people who can educate me. When I become educated, I educate you. And so today we have Michaela Adolphus, Executive Director of the Coalition for African Diaspora Student Athletes. I think it's called CASA. Welcome to the garden, Michaela.
Hi, Monique. Thanks for having me.
I'm excited about this. I'm ready to become educated, sweetheart.
Well, I got a couple things for you. First, I just want to say it's Michaela Adolphus. I'm excited here to share some knowledge.
All right. Well, before we start educating me, let's tell everyone about your journey from college to your current position.
Yes, of course. So I went to UC Davis in Northern California. I ran track and field there for 5 years with a long sprinter in 400 and 200. And while I was at Davis, I had a very interesting journey. I got to actually talk to the team last week. And what I shared with them was that my journey wasn't perfect, but it was what it was supposed to be. And I think that's really important for student athletes to understand that just because it's not exactly how you expected it to go, or you're not doing as well in certain areas as other people, it doesn't mean that you're not doing your journey the right way. So I studied sociology and African American studies while I was at Davis, and that kind of got my activism kicked in. I was part of the founding members of CADSA, so the Coalition for African Diaspora Student Athletes. It was one of the first student athlete resource groups at Davis. I also helped launch Athlete Ally, which was actually the first one. So I was involved with student-athlete identity outside of sports and really cared about supporting that holistic view of student-athletes, and saw that the athletic department just had a blind eye to it and not a complete fault to them. You know, resources are limited, and who they had there was really focused to do their job, which had to do with athletics and academics. So I was excited to be able to get that started. And once I graduated, I got into tech. So I now work for a tech company called Five9. I'm a partner marketing manager now But I had started out on the pre-sales side, and I'd say that athletics really helped me understand how to connect with people, how to relate to them, and then solve problems. Because running track, you know, you're working on a team, but you're also individual, so you've got to understand other folks, but you also have to understand where your role is and how to contribute to the team. It's a lot of times problem solving. So that got me into this space, and now I do partner marketing and help build relationships with other organizations that utilize and sell our technology. So that's a little bit about myself and where I am now and how athletics helped me get there. And I should talk about CADS a little more, but I'll let you, you know, we'll get into that.
Well, the list is long on here. Yes. Well, I want to start off with how we met. And so we met at the Black Student Athlete Summit, I believe, in 2018.
Yes.
You were on the stage, and, you know, everybody knows me. If I see a woman on the stage, I'm going to her and say, hey, you know about the Chatham Garden? And so that's what I do. But tell me how you got to this conference and how it changed your life.
Yes, of course, and definitely life-changing, eye-opening. So at Davis, a group of Black student athletes were pushing on the athletic department to do more to support us. We had just a few athletes who were really going through it, and we felt like we were really siloed and disconnected. And so we're like, we need to do something, And their response was to send us to the Black Student Athlete Summit, and they gave us one assignment, and that was to just report on how they could do better and then how we could work with them to help make our athletic department better. So went to the summit. I think the first year I went was 2017, and in 2018 I did present. But that first year, it was an extremely eye-opening experience. I had no idea some of the work that former Black student athletes and current Black student athletes were doing. I didn't even think that we were in the spaces that a lot of them were leading. That was the first time I had been in a room with over 10 Black people with a PhD, and they were also athletes or former athletes. And so that alone was inspiring. But then to be there and to see a lot of the presentations that were going on and a lot of the topics they covered, and then I don't want to call it a workshop, but it's like a workshop where they take the student-athletes and they separate them by gender. So the males go in one room, the women go in the other room, and they talk about some of those hard topics and some of those hard conversations. And that really brought a lot of the student-athletes like down to earth and understanding that there are situations you'll go through as a woman that are uncomfortable, and you have to come together, and you have to learn that you have a voice, and you can say and do something to protect and take care of yourself and those around you. And the males have a, I would say, opposite conversation on how to actually treat people in the world, and that they can't just do anything. Some of their behavior is not acceptable. And so you can really see the shift in the student athletes there after that workshop. But for me personally, I was inspired to present at the summit when there was a presentation around diversity, equity, and inclusion, and making sure athletic departments were aware of what DE&I looks like, what they need to be doing to support it, and what student athletes may be going through, and why it's important to, you know, have a lens on DE&I. But what made me want to present was I felt there was a lens that was missing. So I am a queer identifying person. And in that conversation, when that presenter was saying the areas that you need to pay attention to, gender identity and sexual orientation was not covered. And it was really interesting to me because I was like, that's really big. Like, we literally have organizations like Athlete Dollar that support student athletes in that way. But, you know, there are challenges in communities with certain identities. And so I felt like that needed to be represented. So the next year I did present on the intersection between Blackness, collegiate athletics, and queerness. And so did some research on that and presented some of my results and how athletic departments need to do a better job at supporting those student athletes and how they can get resources without having to do much work to help those student athletes. So it just pushed me into my research and activism immediately after leaving the summit. And we also launched CASA following the summit. So we found out that most schools are going through what we're going through. Most student athletes are going through what we're going through, and how they made that experience better was starting a Black student athlete resource group or community group. And so following the summit, we started CADSA at Davis. And I'll say that it was a huge shift in trajectory for the athletic department, understanding that student athletes can work with them and work together as student athletes and with the athletic department to really bring some light to the issues they're facing, some areas that can help enhance all of the student athletes, and some topics that we just miss. Like, no one talks about how some student athletes don't have adequate food. No one talks about that. Mm-hmm. You don't think about it. You just think, you know, they get swipes to go to the dining commons, they're fine. But during those breaks when the dining commons is closed and they have to still be on campus training, what's happening? So that was some of the stuff that came out of CADSA following the summit.
Well, I've taken notes and I've got questions, follow-up questions. So, okay, so I'm thinking as athletic administrator, and actually I was athletic director when the NCAA made it mandatory that Division II have SAC. So I created my SAC. Then I was sitting there when they said conference had her set. And then I was like, oh, this is going to be great. And then I sent my student to the very first student-athlete leadership conference. So to the athletic administrator who is like, yeah, but we got SAC. That's something for SAC to do. What is your response to that?
I say they're not completely wrong. Like, you should lean on SAC to understand, you know, what the student athletes are talking about, where do they need support, you know, what are they working on. But SAC is not big enough to cover all of the identities within the athletic department and within the athletic body, student athlete body. SAC is not, does not have enough time. I mean, they're student athletes themselves. Like, they don't have enough time to cover all the bases. And you can still require a SAC advisor or one of the SAC members to be a part of those various groups. But to think that that student body of, what is it, like 10, 15 student athletes can cover every possible issue that's happening with the student athlete body, it's tough. And then I think back, okay, well, the athletic department pushes back and says, you know, well, we don't have enough resources to be able to cover X, Y, Z. It's, well, how do you expect students to do that? They aren't even the experts in it. So that's how we pushed back on it when we were at Davis, because they said the same thing. They're like, well, you should work with SAC. SAC should be able to handle that. And it's like, that's one advisor, maybe two, and 15 student athletes who don't even represent majority of the identities that need some extra support. You know, we got to do a little more. So that would be my response.
Excellent. Second follow-up question. I heard you say that the first time you saw at least 10 Black people with a PhD that had a background as an athlete. So do you have a desire to get your PhD?
1,000%. I definitely want to go back and get my PhD. I want to focus on cultural studies. I have a real knack for research and community building, community work. So that's my goal. I want to hopefully go to UT Austin. They have a really good cultural studies program there. And it's funny because the summit, you know, originated out of UT Austin. And I think the inspiration coming out of there, it makes sense for me to want to full circle back. And they have still an amazing faculty and staff. So I would love to be able to get into that program sometime soon. But it's on my roadmap. It's definitely there.
Third follow-up question. I had a client. I was working with the state of Delaware with their Interscholastic Athletic Association to create their SAC. They didn't have a leadership body for the student athletes to funnel their thoughts on policies. And so, you know, in my mind, I was just trying to get there. what do you know of anyone that's doing something similar to what you do on the college level, on the state level as it relates to high schools? And do you think it's necessary, or are those young people still trying to find themselves?
I don't think anyone is ever too young to get involved in politics. It affects our daily lives,
mm-hmm.
and I think student-athletes have a very interesting lens when it comes to politics, because they kind of get put into this box that everything that happens in the world is, it doesn't involve them because they're an athlete and they got to focus on that. That's the biggest,
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest focus in their life. But I'm not sure if you know Dr. Jasmine George Williams. She's presented at the
mm-hmm.
summit a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah.
She wrote, yeah, so she wrote a book talking about student athlete activism. Love
mm-hmm.
is at the root of resistance. And so
yeah.
that
yeah.
book, it talks about literally how to build student athletes up into activists and how to utilize their strengths and experiences into getting into that space. And I think that is a direct line into politics and helping them understand you do have a voice, you do have a say, and it matters. And you don't need to listen to people who are saying, just dribble, you're just an athlete,
mm-hmm.
stay on the field, stay on the court. You know, you're just athletically gifted and you work really hard, but it's okay if there's other things that you're interested in, and politics is not one that you should be pushed out of. So, no, I think at a very young age, it's important that they understand, you know, how politics affects their lives and how they can get involved in it. And I think Dr. G's book is a really good way to, you know, make it simple, not only for the student athletes to understand how they can have impact, but those folks who are supporting them, your client. If they are interested to get some more guidance, I would check out Dr. G's book. I also would just reach out to her. She's always open to speaking and, you know, brainstorming ideas. She's actually one of CASA's board members. So she's always, you know, in the background trying to help us understand how we can help our student athletes get a step further when it comes to their identity and how they are representing themselves and speaking up and advocating for themselves.
Yeah, Dr. G actually was a sponsor of A Chat in the Garden. And we promoted her book extensively, and we did a Facebook Live, you know, discussing her book. And just, yeah, so she is well-known here, but I would say it was when the book first came out. So I will
mm-hmm.
definitely post that inside the group as a podcast follow-up from today's event. That's what we do. We plant seeds to help others grow. And that's a good seed.
Yeah.
I just told you, reap the seeds, and seeds are weeds.
Last
question as it relates to this. Yes, girl. My father was in the teacher. He loved to make things rhyme, girl, so that you remember it. So one of the things that I know the answer to, but I just want to discuss it a slight bit. So when you go to the Black Student-Athlete Summit for the first time, you know, you're with your folks from your own school. So what type of relationships did you make? Because it's interesting. People get all caught up about the networking, you know. But if a young person can meet somebody and then come out with something that's game-changing, this was game-changing.
Mm-hmm.
So talk about
mm-hmm.
that.
Yeah, definitely built a network. I didn't really even understand what networking was until I got there. But one, I'm a talker. I like to talk. I try to be as inviting as possible. So it was important for me to make sure that I spoke to folks. But in the sessions, you know, I spoke up a little bit in the question portion in between folks' presentations. And that was got
mm-hmm.
folks, you know, wanting to talk to me. And then I was paying attention to questions that other people were asking. And then when we have our little downtime intermission, I would go up to them and say, hey, I loved your question. What was that about? Or any speaker that stuck out to me, I would go talk to them and learn more about their work and understand, like, how they even got into that from being a student athlete to whatever space they're in now. I was just curious. And I think the curiosity in that space is the best thing for any student athlete that's there. Everyone there is so friendly. Even the people who are shy, they're like, it's an energy that you feel, and you kind of just feel pushed to just talk to somebody, meet someone. You see a lot of people who seem interesting to you because you're like, you do a sport that I do, and I've never seen you before, but you're here. And maybe you presented about something, and I didn't even know that people in my sport had time to even research something like that or were involved or thinking about those topics. So it was a really, really good networking experience, but it was my first time networking, and I didn't really know how to navigate it. I just kept asking questions. And from that, I did meet a couple people. So Jen Fry was a big contact that I thought was has continued to be impactful, just understanding her work. UC Davis was able to get her to come out and work with our athletic department, and she's been able to work with CASA a couple times. But I think she was a big impactful person for me to connect with because her entrepreneurship helped me feel, I guess, inspired and motivated to continue with CASA on a nonprofit level and understanding you can own something while also being committed to other spaces in your life. Also, a lot of student athletes I met and learned about their experience with their Black student athlete groups and what they were doing to help improve their campuses. And a lot of them helped also with getting CASA off the ground as a nonprofit too. So Matthew Caruso and his sister, Jennifer Caruso, they had started a Black student athlete group at Bryant University, and then they launched it into an organization once they graduated, and they were very instrumental in CASA getting off the ground. And there were another few folks that I still connect with now that are like in med school. And so I'm connecting them with people, with student athletes who are trying to get into med school, some folks who are going into law, like different areas that, you know, I met these student athletes. We were just student athletes. We were just having a good time. We thought they were all cool, but then we graduated and did real things. And, it's really cool to still have that network and to look back to say, hey, we would have never met each other and never connected if we weren't at that summit, and we're all making an impact right now and continuing to reach back and try to help some of those student athletes that are just getting into it. So if I had to give advice, and they didn't ask me to, but if I had to give advice to any student athletes there, just ask a question. Speak to that friendly face. Speak to that unfriendly face too, because you never know how they'll be able to impact your life either in the immediate future or later down the line.
You know, I'm gonna circle back when we talked about high school for a second.
Mm-hmm.
And youth, never too early about politics. Okay, so I got a funny thing first, okay? So when I was in the third grade, Jimmy Carter was running for president.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it has been about me in politics. As a little girl, this is really funny, I'm embarrassed to say. When I was a really, really young girl, when Nixon was president, and my parents would have people over, and they were talking about Nixon so bad. And I stood there, and I would cry, and I was like, don't talk about our president like that. And everybody just bust out laughing. Now, how foolish I felt when I got older and I found out he was what? Tricky Dick. I was like, okay, got me once. Don't get me twice, okay? So then you fast forward. I'm in the third grade. And Jimmy Carter is running for president. I fell in love with Amy because she was a little girl and I was a little girl. I had red hair. She had red hair. It didn't look like the same kind of red hair, but it was red hair, okay? But the part that got me the most with him was that Jimmy Carter raised peanuts, and my family raised peanuts too. And I did a campaign in my little third grade because we did a mock election. And I said, I want him to win. So I don't know if my mama sent him a letter or something. I got a signed Jimmy Carter picture after he got elected. So I got the bug early. So I became SDA president when I was in high school. And I have been speaking truth to power ever since, you know. And I went to, so I said that to say about relationships. I remember being my senior year, And I didn't know the biases that I know now. I just knew something felt just not comfortable. So I remember a young man. I'm from the country, so this guy was from the city. And he was SJ president, but I just saw he was a black man, but everybody else in his class was white. And I just saw how you, I want to just say this, and you can probably put some words to it since you're like in the research part, that they were, he would sing, they would always have him to sing, and, you know, and I was like, you don't realize that they're kind of like using you? Now, those are the terms I use as a, you know, and I said, and then he said he was going to go to military, the VMI. I said, no, you need to be around your people. I don't think you've been around your people enough. Man, freshman year at Hampton University, why I see that dude walking down the street? I came here because you said that. Now, I graduated 30 years ago from college. But, and so when he, and he went on to go in the Air Force, and then he retired. He invited me to his retirement ceremony, and he pointed me out. He says, because of that girl that I got my HBCU experience. But he was a leader. See, my point is, you can spot the leaders, but then there's something that they can be blindsided about, and that's why community is important. I don't know what made me feel like I should be able to tell this man this, you know, because it was, I want to say it was kind of insulting, because I didn't know about, you know, how we say the shucking and jiving. You didn't know how to use that term. But something in my spirit was like, you don't even know what I'm feeling. So you need to be in an environment that makes you alert. So you have something similar that you've been able to, it's a blind spot. You got leaders that are around you that think they're doing great, but you had to, like, tell them, look, really you're not.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think I see that more in the space I'm in now. So being in tech, you know, tech is I'm not going to say it's not for the people, but there's not a lot of us here. And that might be by design. That might just be because there's a blind spot. You know, we can argue about that all day. But some of the leaders that I am around and some of the mentors that I do have, I think you get to a point where you've been successful. You've gone up the ladder a little bit. You represent some folks that haven't had a seat at the table, and you think by just doing your job, it's enough, and you let some things go by, let some things pass, and you may be getting exploited, you may be being blindsided, you may, you know, you've been doing so much to get where you are, you think like, okay, this is great for me, and this is great for my people, but you're not looking back to see what's going on behind you, and they're not letting you look forward to see what's going on in front of you. And you don't have anyone around you that's like that is similar to you to say, hey, that's not right. That's actually not right. But you're so used to being in that space. Everything that they're doing is ingrained. So, you know, I've had to push on some of my mentors and my leaders to say, yeah, you're doing a good job doing your job. And I understand you may think you have to just continue to do your job to move us forward. But I think you also need to push back a little bit and remember where you came from, or learn a little more about what we all are experiencing, that we're not in your seat. So we don't have the privilege of hearing the conversations and being able to say, hey, no, that's not how it should go. I think it's important for leaders to always come back to where they were or learn more about some of the people that are similar to them and not get too caught up in their, they have this status to uphold. I think, yes, you know, do your job and make sure you can continue to do your job, but also make sure you're doing right by your people, too, and yourself. It's really easy to think like, well, I got to protect myself. I've got to protect my family. I've got to protect my livelihood. And being a leader is hard because you put your neck out on the line a lot for the betterment of the people, which is the betterment of yourself. But, you know, you have to remember, like, that is a part of the goal. You have your individual goals, but also another large part of it, I would think, and I know for at least the leaders around me, is to help improve what the experience is like for our people and the opportunity and equity. And I think sometimes it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day and the minutiae of it all and forget that, wait a minute, I'm supposed to be making sure I'm improving this space so as more of us come in here, we are able to thrive and be successful and not feel isolated and not feel stigmatized and not feel like we don't belong here and that imposter syndrome because we're just allowing those who have been here to continue to keep this such a tight space and keep it not for us. So I think for myself, I'm in the middle ground right now. So it's easy for me to still reach back and see what's going on because I'm still like, I think I still have a long way to go to consider myself close to any type of top of any ladder. I don't even like to position it that way, but for lack of better words. But for some of my mentors that I work with on a day-to-day, and they're like, we're making so much progress. I'm like, yes and no. Come back and look at what's going on over here. We're making progress, but don't forget there's still a lot to do. That I think what the story you're sharing about the man who wanted to go to the military and he thought, you know, I think this is the best way to go. I think it's really important that anyone who wants to go in these spaces that typically do not have a lot of us color folks in that space, it's important to understand what is your community truly going through and what type of impact are you going to have when you get in that space and what are they going to try to like change about you. Make sure you hold on to what's important and you always remember, I'm doing this for myself, but I'm also doing this to help other folks do better, more people like me to do better and to get into space and the space be better for those people too. But that's not always everybody's calling. So, again, when you see those leaders, it's important to you know, grab them and say, hey, how's it going? What are you doing? When's the last time you've been around your people? Or have you just been, you know, in this leadership space? So.
Girl. You are powerful, but I do have to, just drop this one thing. I take credit slightly for Jennifer Fry because she came to one of my retreats, and she was already kind of dibbling-dabbling diversity. I said, girl, you are walking, talking billboard for diversity. Get out there and go. And so I made her email somebody right then. She was a volleyball coach. From I said, go speak at their convention. Do it now. And I stay on her. I said, start writing blogs. I said, just don't talk about what you know. Give 3 action items. So I'm proud to say that she is from this garden.
And you planted a really, really, really good, strong seed. Jen Fry, she's, you know, it's been a few years. She's been doing her thing. And she's inspiring a lot of people to really take on that passion of DE&I work and just, you know, creating your own.
Well, I thank you so much for being here and for saying that. And I want to thank Jamla Harrison of Refined Solutions for being my eyes and ears when she tells me I got 1 minute left. This has been great. Join us next Wednesday. I know. You got to come back, sweetheart. Join us next Wednesday at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time for updates on show guests and podcasts. Follow us on Facebook, A Chat in the Garden with Monique A.J. Smith. Have a significant rest of the day.
My name is Candy Waller, and I'm the president of the Seawall Foundation, a 501c3 nonprofit organization established to enhance the transferable skills of student athletes. We are currently launching a media training course to prepare student athletes to effectively engage with the press and the public. To learn more, email us at info@seawallfoundation.org. We look forward to hearing from you soon. I'm
This is Alva Champion Amaker of ANA Athletic Consulting and Vigilant Safety Training Center. My investment to become a member of the Advanced Academy is one of the best decisions I've made in my business and personal growth journey. Working with Monique has provided the network to connect and collaborate with some phenomenal women and leaders, exposed me to literature for growth, and opportunities to share my skill sets and knowledge. Her candid approach in the one-on-one sessions make me more accountable for taking the necessary steps toward my advanced success. Thank you, Monique, and I appreciate you.
Why do colleges support student athletes pursuing every profession except professional sports? Why are they treated as just students when they're athletes, knowing that they need help surviving their lives? I'm Tawana Smith, and as a former Division I and pro athlete and now best-selling author, I've created a transition system specifically for student athletes called Surviving the Lights. For more information, visit www.survivingthelights.com to learn how we can change the game together.